the gold.
It puts a spicy forehand out in front of Naomi Morcilla.
Move for the win. Team Canada. Derrick Wu.
Santos with the layout grab.
Oh, that fantastic grab. The claws of Chatter.
Canada just became the world champions.
Canada and the rest of the world, you're listening to the Hockey Night podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Theo Wan, living in Kingston, Ontario.
And I'm Kelsey Hayden. I am a guest host this week. I'm coming at you from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And together, we're your coast-to-coast guide to all things Canadian Ultimate.
Nailed down the jingle. We do like to, do like to hear that right
away.
Been
practicing.
Yeah. Kelsey, you've been on the show many a time, so not one of those long-time listeners, first-time callers out here.
Not quite.
But it's been a bit. So right now I'm looking out the window here in Kingston. There was a mini snowstorm like a day ago, and then a larger one maybe like half a week ago. So snow still on the ground, definitely. What's it like out there in the true East Coast?
Yeah, it is the true East Coast, and still not even the truest with Newfoundland over there. Things are pretty good in Halifax. We've had a few little snowstorms, but we haven't had any, you know, apocalyptic blizzards this year, knock on wood. So we have a little bit of snow down, but not too bad. We've had a lot of local tournaments around here lately. The winter 4-on-4 kind of tournament circuit around Nova Scotia and New Brunswick is pretty lit. So there's been a lot of really good tournaments recently. I was at one a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to another one this weekend. So been playing lots of Ultimate despite the, you know, not ideal weather conditions outside. Obviously, we're playing inside.
And we've talked about the 04UC recap. You know, our co-host here may or may not have tried to get some scouting, some film, some, you know, some extra eyes on these Ontario teams. So how many bids do you know offhand? How many bids your team or sorry, your not your team, your province or area gets so that you can attend this C4UC out in, I believe it's Durham, Ontario, somewhere around there in Ontario.
It's in Oshawa this year at Durham Oshawa, College, yeah. Durham, which was actually very confusing for us who are not from the area figuring that out. But Nova Scotia has two bids. So we requested two bids and received two bids. We have a seeding game in a couple of weeks between the two teams. So that will be really fun. But Nova Scotia is sending two really strong squads. So that's why we wanted some scouting reports on the Ontario team. So if anybody listening happens to have videos and wants to send them my way, you feel free.
Yeah. Is it going to be, I remember one year it was like Nova Scotia 1, Nova Scotia 2 or something. Wasn't that like a thing?
Yeah, I think that was actually their name. Yeah, so Brunch Money has had a ton of success at C4UC. I think every time they went, they ended up on the podium. They got a bronze, a silver, and a gold, but not in that order. And there's always been a really good Nova Scotia showing at C4UC. One year, I do think that they were named Nova Scotia 1 and Nova Scotia 2, which is a little
for
bit
sure.
funny.
That's how I know that, yeah.
Yeah, but that was years before I think even lived in Nova Scotia. So this year, yeah, we have two teams attending, both really strong. One is named Pons, P-O-N-S, and one is named Wood Truck.
Nice.
Yeah.
And are both of those teams involved in we announced this last week on the news that two Canadian teams going to Windmill. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So some of those players are going to be on this like Windmill squad, right?
Yeah, actually a bunch from both teams are attending Windmill on a team called Farmer Brown's Greenhouse. So we're really stoked on that. So that Windmill team is kind of a mix of some players from these two teams and then a bunch of other great local players, as well as a few of our friends picking up. So you mentioned on the podcast last week, Molly Wedge. So she's our longtime pal. She's going to be joining us again. Her husband, Sam Cameron, who also plays in the UK, will be joining us. And then we also have a friend from New York who actually plays on Empire, Elliot Chartuk. He's friends with one of our captains, so he's going to join us too. So it should be a super fun squad.
A little Empire connection. I like that. First of all, thank you as a guest co-host listening to a recent episode where we gave some love to your team and also to a World Games player, Molly Wedge. So thank you for doing that. I think we've done some catching up, so we're going to hit the news, talk some college things that happened over the weekend, and then also in the main event, we're previewing one of my favorite tournaments, Stanford Invite. I remember getting into Ultimate early on, and there was a lot of live streams from UltiWorld and about Stanford Invite before that. Next Gen Network was talking about NGN was filming Stanford Invite. There's an infamous clip where Dylan Freechild absolutely roasts Julian Childs-Walker at Stanford Invite on this like little give-go move in his Callahan video. That's from that tournament. So Stanford Invite, it's a fun one. UBC and UVic men's team both going. So that's exciting. But first, we're going to hit the news.
We now have breaking news.
So we're moving here on the news from the East Coast over to the West Coast for Dogwood Bowl. A pretty classic game. The fact that two schools in the same province, but not that close. You know, one has to take a ferry over. But they get to play each other annual game. They got a bunch of sponsors. From their stories I saw on Instagram, there were like some decent amount of fans, even though it looked like there was snow coming down. They had to move some things around for that. So pretty exciting that it happened. So at least on the women's side, we'll talk about that first. UBC women's taking it. It wasn't a very close scoreline. UBC women's showing their dominance throughout there. Was noted the weather wasn't the best. You know, sometimes with the weather, it's not the cleanest game, but scores still happen. It's just not the cleanest form of ultimate. So on the women's side, at least, it was a large margin. So things kind of large in the men's side, but a little bit different.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, the weather, obviously, it's going to affect both teams, but whichever team can adjust to the weather quicker and better, you know, it's going to give them the edge for sure. I do love that you said there were, it was kind of snowing and there were still fans. Like, that is Canadian Ultimate at its core, I feel. I love that. That's great. On the men's side, UBC won as well. So they got the double victory. And we were talking to Jonah Lee Ash about the game. And he said the team was really fired up after losing the UVic at Santa Barbara Invite. And it was snowy and cold, but they wanted to just come out hot. And they set the tone right from the beginning. And they got the break early, and then they just rode that momentum. I think it was a 13-6 win, so pretty dominating. He did note that they have a big roster, and so they didn't do equal play time. And so, you know, some people didn't get a ton of points on the field, but the whole roster stayed really engaged throughout the game, which is obviously what you love to see. And that's the team mentality that you're always looking for. UVic did mention that, you know, they had an off game and it wasn't ideal, but they did win the party. And that's a important aspect as well. It's a big part of Ultimate. So good for them. And we've heard that the Dogwood Bowl MVP was Kevin Tong. He had 5 points and 2 blocks. But we also heard that Nicholas Sanchez set the tone with his effort. And Matthew Wood, who's a rookie, came up big, and he even roofed Ricky McLeod from Furious. So it's a nice little feather in his cap. But yeah, it sounds like it was a really fun game on both sides.
I met Ricky at Worlds. He approached me and we talked. So Ricky, if you're listening to this, sorry that we had to clown on, not clown on you, but this was given to us by Jonah Lee Ash, who's one of the coaches at UBC. Matthew Wood, it sounds like he came up from the PR making some plays. So got to give some love, you know, to everyone out there. Speaking of BC, there's a really cool program that some of you might know. I had the privilege of commentating this team last year at College Nationals, Oklahoma Christian, D3 school out there down south. They actually have a Canadian, Ryan Louis Ying, played Eclipse Team Canada as well, U20s. Was told by inside source that he's 18-year-old captain on this team. So that's pretty exciting.
Whoa. And
so normally we don't talk about Southern Frisbee out here, but his team won a tournament. They went 7-0, beating a lot of D1 schools. So got to give some love there. And then the final note, at least on my end, I know there's another tournament we're going to recap. We're jumping here to the east. So on the women's side, Ottawa went to a small tournament in Vermont. Love that. Got to play the Vermont A team, who's like, Vermont A team is really good. Kenny McCarthy, among others. It's going to be a semifinals contender for sure. So watch out for them. And then, so A and B team, as well as Middlebury, a D3 contender like every year. So pretty fun for them to go out to this tournament. Don't have the results. I just know that they played the tournament. So maybe when I get the results, I could tell you. But that's what happened there. But then there was Eastern qualifiers. Those in the audience know I was hyped up on this McGill team. But Kelsey, it sounds like it didn't go the way of the hype that I had, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it maybe didn't go quite to plan. So Eastern qualifiers happened in Little River, South Carolina. Where that is exactly in South Carolina, I have no idea.
Maybe it's near Myrtle Beach. We don't know.
but it's down there. And so McGill went in seeded third. And so, like Theo said, probably had some pretty high hopes, some, you know, big aspirations for some success. And they did have some success. You know, they had a big win over Georgia State. They beat them 13-7. They had a close Universe Point loss to James Madison University, 13-12. It was point for point the whole time. But then at the very end, James Madison ended up scoring two straight to take the win. They had a big 2-point win over Temple. So like, those are all great, great things. Unfortunately, they did have a loss to South Carolina. They lost 13-11 in a close game. And that took them out of bracket play. So they did end up finishing a little lower than they went in seeded, we'll say. Numbers don't matter here. But they, you know, they're probably a little disappointed overall, but I think that they can look back and see a lot of positives from that weekend. And you know what? It's a university program, you're always building, you're always learning, you're not going to just have immediate success. So I think it's important to look back and see those silver linings, which I hope they can do.
The game against South Carolina in particular hurts a little bit because they could have actually got into the bracket and even took the first seed if they had won by a certain amount. So
right, those tough horrible three-way ties. They hurt so bad.
It's true. And speaking with them, you know, via Instagram DM, this is a reminder, if you want to talk to us, you can always slide in there. They have three Universe Point losses and losing, as we just mentioned, by 2-13-11 to a team that got the bid. Like, they're feeling pretty good about that. So not the results they wanted. It would have been really cool to see them at Easterns because that's like the premier tournament of the year. All the top teams go. So the fact that you can try to get a bid for through the qualifier is awesome. I love that. So we'll see what happens the rest of the season. Just a quick note as well. Ottawa going to be playing conferences and hopefully going to regionals. And, you know, I've always been hyped on that. So they're playing in the Metro East, which is actually getting better this year. So you got to watch out for some of those Metro East teams. But Ottawa going to be taking their talents, at least on the women's side for now, going. And another reminder, if you're a university program going to a tournament and we don't know about it, let us know. So that's all we're going to say. These are two university teams going to a tournament, and that's Stanford Invite. And we're going to preview that right after the break.
Hey, this is Sam Burge from the University of Manitoba. Your 2022 Huck and A D1 College Women's Coach of the Year. And you're listening to the Huck and A podcast, your coast-to-coast guide for all things Canadian Ultimate.
All right, main event time. It's Stanford Invite, like I said, at the top, one of my favorite tournaments of the college season. So we got two teams going, and it's going to be fun. Games are going to be live streamed, I am pretty certain, because they've been... Ultimately, I've been live streaming almost every tournament.
Yeah, they must be.
Eastern qualifiers and Commonwealth wasn't streamed, but a lot of tournaments were. So you got to love. And also, even though they weren't streamed, they were filmed. So I edited a game last night between Northeastern and Binghamton, Metro East team. So definitely more coverage coming at you. I know, McGill, your game was filmed. So look out for that eventually. I don't know if you want to see it based on the results.
It's a good learning opportunity.
Yes, that's what we say. So UBC, we're going to talk about them first. Kelsey, break down at least their prep and kind of where they're at right now.
Yeah, so UBC is starting the tournament second in Pool C. That's probably thanks in part to their seventh finish at Prez Day. So we were talking again to Jonah Lee Ash about kind of their prep and what their mindset is on their systems. They've been drilling them for months. They feel confident in their systems and they want their players to feel confident in their systems as well. You know, they've gone toe to toe with a lot of top teams, slow UCLA, Washington, and they just need to clean up their execution right from the start on those wins. So I think they can feel that they're on the cusp of getting those big wins and having success in those big games. Just need to tidy things up a little, trust each other, play their systems. And their goal is to earn a bid to nationals for the Northwest. So I love that. You should be direct. You should be clear. That's a great goal. And so they're really hoping to perform this weekend to work their way towards that.
I mean, I don't want to jinx it on the women's side, but UBC women's looking very strong. They're ranked very high in the Ulti World Power ranking. So sounds like they'll at least earn the bid for the region. But it would be really cool to see UBC men's and UVic men's also try to do the same. So
definitely.
They're, like you said, they're seated second in their pool, the sixth seed overall. And they get to take on some teams that I think they should be able to take down. I'm not going to say easily because I don't think there's going to be any easy games, but they're going to play the 14 seed Stanford first. and Colorado State second, both teams in the double digit seeds, and both teams finish in the double digits at Prez Day. The big matchup is going to be against Washington, number 3 seed overall, number 22 in the power rankings as of the latest ones that are out. Finished fourth at Prez Day, losing to very mighty Colorado only by 2. So they're up there. They're lost to Slo twice by 2 and 3 points respectively. UBC also lost by 3 to Slo. So you know it's going to be a close matchup. So really looking
forward to that. That's a great schedule though, to start with the lower ranked team, or like the lowest team in their pool. That's the ideal schedule, so they can build up the chemistry, you know, really gain some momentum. But by the time they face Washington, they're going to be ready to roll.
That's a note for the schedule makers out there.
Schedule making is really hard. So just for the record, I never criticize schedule makers because it's so difficult. Having made a few very basic schedules, it's so hard. But when you do get that lineup of easiest to hardest game, in my opinion, that's the best. Some people may look at it the opposite because they might say, well, you're tired by your hardest game. But to me, that just means that, you know, the machine's rolling and you're ready to go.
I've seen tournaments where the top 2 seeds, I'm not even sure if it's nationals, it's got to be some other tournaments, but the play top first. 2 seeds play each other first. And
yeah,
that's tough.
I don't like that. Yes, that's actually tough. No 2 schedule makers don't do that.
Okay, so you're not going to criticize the schedule makers, but what you're saying is don't schedule the first 2 seeds together. That's tough. Don't.
That's the best game to watch.
It is. And like I said, these 2 teams, they could both be in the semis of this tournament or further. So how it works, I love the breakdown of this tournament. It's very easy to discuss. It's not like a beautiful mind out here. If you finish second or third in your pool, you get into pre-quarters. And then if you finish first in pool play, you get to quarters. Actually similar to college nationals itself. Mm-hmm. So if they finish second, they potentially would play Oregon State, another Northwest rival. Or if they finish third, potentially they would play the second seed out of pool B, which would be Cal. Who made it all the way to the SBI finals in the same tournament that UBC had played earlier in the year. If they somehow finish first, we're rooting
don't
for
don't say
that.
Somehow. Okay, if they finish first.
When they finish first, how's that? when they finish first, they'll play potentially the winner of Santa Cruz versus Utah State. And Santa Cruz is a team that's trending high up on in the Ulti world. I don't want to say Twitter sphere. Base camp? The people are talking high about Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. So watch out for them. So that's UBC in a nutshell for you. They're still in the power rankings. So the thing is, there's 25 teams in the power rankings, but only 20 make it. So even if you're in the power rankings, it doesn't, not that it means, it's an opinion of writers and reporters.
Sure.
But it's nice to see your team in the power rankings, right? Like.
Yeah, and I mean, it does reflect that you're a strong team. You know, it's opinions of people who are fairly informed, I would say. So it's not the be all end all, and you should not get caught up in the power rankings. But like you said, if you are on the power rankings, you probably deserve the credit you're getting.
And so this next team, the other team we're going to talk about, also in the power
rankings. Yeah. Yeah. So UVic. So they are also starting at the tournament second in their pool, but they're in pool A, which means that they're actually the 8th seed overall after finishing 6th at Prez Day. So they are starting in a, you know, people have different opinions on pools and pool strength, but you know, they're starting with the number 1 seed in their pool, which is a bit intimidating, but you know, that also just means that they're going to play their stiffest competition right off the bat. So that's good. You know, they'll know where the bar is, and they can work hard to try to reach it and surpass it.
And just a quick note here. I steered Kelsey astray here. It was actually 6th at SBI. That's totally very open with the audience here. I pulled the trick on our guest host here. That's not very nice of me.
I will never be back.
Exactly. It's actually 6th at SBI. They did not go to Prez Day.
That makes
when
more sense.
When you said it, I was like, what? And then I realized that's on.
I'm a sheep. I just followed the note.
That's on the schedule maker himself. So, anyways, UVic, your first game against Santa Clara, they won the Stanford Open, kind of talked about the Eastern qualifier before. So they won that to get in. Next, they get the 8-9 matchup against the Utah State, Scotsman. They previously beat them at SBI in the pre-quarter 12-11. So, you know, they're coming out for revenge, kind of like what happened with UBC at Dogwood Bowl. So
that's a fun rematch.
They have a few common opponents in my research, and those two common opponents, California and UCLA, they've lost them both. So you know this is going to be a close matchup. And then they get to play the very mighty Oregon. I was kind of low on Oregon to begin the year, but now saw what they did at Prez Day. Did you get to see that highlight?
I don't think so.
A block, and then there was a huge like jump ball. It was Universe Point Prez Day, Oregon versus Colorado, and it was just like it was a prayer into the air.
Classic college ultimate.
Yes, Oregon player comes down with it. They're all
celebrating. That's sick. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I have to look it up. I think it's somewhere in the Ulti World base camp there. But anyways, they get the grab for the win. So they actually jumped up many spots after winning Prez Day. So I believe they were sitting at 17. In the power rankings, jumped all the way up to 4. Ooh. Because of that W. For UVic, they lost them at SPI in the 5th place game, 10-6. So you got to be feeling okay about that. That's not too bad. If they finish second in their pool, we're predicting that, potentially, they would play the UCSD, one of my favorite team names, the Air Squids. if they finish college ultimate, you got some good names out here.
That's incredible.
That's all I'm saying. Third in Pool A, they would most likely play Santa Cruz, a team that I was already telling you that people were hyped up on. They're number 17 in the power rankings. So this could be a very dangerous game for them. And then if they win Pool A, which, once again, we're putting that into the universe, they would play the winner of California and Colorado State. There is a scenario, by the way, that UBC and UVic could meet each other. Weird things would have to happen. I think one would have to win the pool. Mm-hmm. And like another would have to finish third and something would happen. But there could be a possibility of another all-Canadian matchup.
How do you feel about that when you go to like an American tournament or, you know, you travel for a tournament and then you end up playing against someone you play against all the time? There's like, ooh, we're familiar and we might be able to have a little bit of an edge sometimes. But how do you feel about traveling to those tournaments and that happening?
When it's like a tournament like Stanford Invite, I guess they're flying south a little bit. So I do want to play different competition, but if there's like something on the line, like it's pre-quarters, it's quarters, like it's just another team. You're just trying to get past them. And UBC is definitely going to feel that they got revenge already in the Dogwood Bowl, but getting revenge at a US tournament that means something for rankings and kind of the pride aspect. I think that means a little bit more.
It's also tough. I really hope they don't meet each other because then that means someone's knocking the other one out. And we don't want that. We want both Canada teams to go deep. We want both of them to go far. And as you know, so I play on Salty in the summer I have in the past few years. And we have this running joke. We always end up playing Stella. We go to tournaments. We go to regionals. We go to Boston Invite. We go to Select Flight. We were supposed to play them at Worlds, but we ended up both teams agreed, you know, we don't need to play each other for the millionth time. But we, no matter where we travel, we play Stella and we always joke about the same thing that we're traveling all this way. There's teams we've never played before. And yet we just keep playing the same team over and over again. So I hope that doesn't happen to UBC and UVic. I hope that they both get to play deep into the tournament and they don't have to face each other. So they can't knock each other out and both Canadian teams just thrive.
So, you know, it's a little different than your other Ulti World podcasts where they talk about all the college teams because they can't really have like a pushing these things into the universe like us Canadian folks. So we're pushing that. You know, I'm hoping for multiple Canadian teams making U.S. college nats this year.
Yeah.
I think that's like pretty fun. We're into March now, so this is audio only for today, but Kelsey, you got the, is that Duke? You got the Duke shirt on over there? The Dukies out here. So it's March Madness time, and that's always a good time of the year. I know it's something that Ulti World's done before. I hope that it comes back again. I was talking to Keith about it today, where they do like the bracket, and instead of like obviously the basketball teams for the women's and men's tournament, they put in ultimate teams, and it's kind of fun to see what comes up because I was looking at last year's in Louisville, who I don't even know if they have an ultimate team. They probably do, but they were the number one seed and they got knocked out by like number 16 Albany because Albany at least has like a decent ultimate team. So that's always fun.
Yeah. I love anything March Madness or March Madness adjacent. So
have you ever won a March Madness pool or been close?
I have actually. I won one a few years ago. I was really close last year and it was actually really difficult because I always pick Duke to win. I'm a Duke gal.
Do you not have two brackets? I know we're side.
I have four brackets, okay, but in one particular bracket,
which is
So I have one that I'm like, this is who I want Duke to win. And then I have another one that sometimes I still put Duke because, you know, often they are a contender. But anyways, in my bracket last year, the one that was actually going to earn me money if I won, the only way I got down to the end and the only way I could win was if UNC beat Duke in the semi. And so I was very torn in that game because I was like, oh no, I'm cheering for Duke, but I get $300 if UNC wins. So anyways, it was a heartbreaker. But yeah, I love brackets of all kinds. They're the best.
You know, in sports betting, they call that hedging your bets there, I believe. I'm not a big sports bettor, so I
only bet with my friends.
Yeah, I bet some money on the Houston Astros because I absolutely despise them in baseball. And so when they won the World Series, I made like 50 or 60 bucks. So I felt not totally happy, but it made it a little bit sweeter that I made some money off it. And it was free money that I was betting on the app I was using. So that was pretty fun there.
Love that.
I like our segue into basketball.
Yeah, pig advocate for sports betting.
Yeah, we're not sponsoring anything yet by like the score bet or anything like that.
You just let us know if you want us to talk more about sports betting, and we will.
That's true. Anyways, we're going to wrap it up for today. It's a short episode, recapping some of these tournaments and previewing some others. And then next week, we'll be talking about how they did. Stanford Invite and the men's side, and then preview the women's side because UBC women's will be going and perhaps they can win. So that would be super exciting. Follow us on Instagram, Hucking_A, you know, all the social things. And then Kelsey, an absolute delight. We're going to take a break from the commentator's corner on the subs only this week. And you're going to sit in and talk about what it's like to play on the East Coast with Ultimate, because a lot of people, they don't really understand the travel. I'm going to say hashtag isolation, you know, so it's a little different out there, and you're going to break it down for us and maybe give some positives as well. I'm sure there are tons of positives. I know some people probably think of some of the more challenging things, but I'm sure there's tons of positives. Probably Tiny Community is one of them. So with that being said, we're going to sign off for this week. Once again, stay tuned for subs only and you can listen to Kelsey. So see you next week.
Bye.